The Principles of Psychology by William James. Volume 4, Chapter 23, The Production of Movement. The reader will not have forgotten, in the jungle of purely inward processes and products through which the last chapters have borne him, that the final result of them all must be some form of bodily activity due to the escape of the central excitement through outgoing nerves. The whole neural organism, it will be remembered, is, physiologically considered, but a machine for converting stimuli into reactions. And the intellectual part of our life is knit up with, but the middle or central portion of the machine's operations. Let us now turn to consider the final or emergent operations, the bodily activities, and the forms of consciousness connected therewithal. Every impression which impinges on the incoming nerves produces some discharge down the outgoing ones, whether we be aware of it or not. Using sweeping terms and ignoring exceptions, we might say that every possible feeling produces a movement, and that the movement is a movement of the entire organism and of each and all its parts. What happens patently when an explosion or a flash of lightning startles us, or when we are tickled, happens latently with every sensation which we receive. The only reason why we do not feel the startle or tickle in the case of insignificant sensations is partly its very small amount, partly our obtuseness. Professor Bain many years ago gave the name of the law of diffusion to this phenomenon of general discharge and expressed it thus. According as an impression is accompanied with feeling, the aroused currents diffuse themselves over the brain, leading to a general agitation of the moving organs, as well as affecting the viscera. In cases where the feeling is strong, the law is too familiar to require proof. As Professor Bain says, each of us knows in our own experience that a sudden shock of feeling is accompanied with movements of the body generally, and with other effects. When no emotion is present, we are quiescent. A slight feeling is accompanied with slight manifestations. A more intense shock has a more intense outburst. Every pleasure and every pain and every mode of emotion has a definite wave of effects, which our observation makes known to us. And we apply the knowledge to infer other men's feelings from their outward display. The organs first and prominently affected, in the diffused wave of nervous influence, are the moving members, and of these, by preference, the features of the face, with the ears in animals, whose movements constitute the expression of the countenance. But the influence extends to all the parts of the moving system, voluntary and involuntary, while an important series of effects are produced on the glands and viscera, the stomach, lungs, heart, kidneys, skin, together with the sexual and mammary organs. The circumstance is seemingly universal. The proof of it does not require a citation of instances in detail. On the objectors is thrown the burden of adducing unequivocal exceptions to the law. 345. There are probably no exceptions to the diffusion of every impression through the nerve centers. The effect of the wave through the centers may, however, often be to interfere with processes and to diminish tensions already existing there. And the outward consequences of such inhibitions may be the arrest of discharges from the inhibited regions and the checking of bodily activities already in process of occurrence. When this happens, it probably is like the draining or siphoning of certain channels by currents flowing through others. When in walking we suddenly stand still because a sound, sight, smell, or thought catches our attention, something like this occurs. But there are cases of arrest of peripheral activity which depend, not on central inhibition, but on stimulation of centers which discharge outgoing currents of an inhibitory sort. Whenever we are startled, for example, our heart momentarily stops or slows its beating and then palpitates with accelerated speed. The brief arrest is due to an outgoing current down the pneumogastric nerve. This nerve, when stimulated, stops or slows the heartbeats, and this particular effect of startling fails to occur if the nerve be cut. In general, however, the stimulating effects of a sense impression preponderate over the inhibiting effects, so that we may roughly say, as we began by saying, that the wave of discharge produces an activity in all parts of the body. The task of tracing out all the effects of any one incoming sensation has not yet been performed by physiologists. Recent years have, however, begun to enlarge our information, and although I must refer to special treatises for the full details, I can briefly string together here a number of separate observations which prove the truth of the law of diffusion. First, take effects upon the circulation. Those upon the heart we have just seen. Haller long ago recorded that the blood from an open vein flowed out faster at the beat of a drum. 346 in Chapter 3. Volume 1, page 98, we learned how instantaneously, according to Masso, the circulation in the brain is altered by changes of sensation and of the course of thought. The effect of objects of fear, shame, and anger upon the blood supply of the skin, especially the skin of the face, are too well known to need remark. Sensations of the higher senses produce, according to Coody and Charpentier, the most varied effects upon the pulse rate and blood pressure in dogs.